You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke to Sarah Snyde today regarding the proposed alcohol harm reduction bill by the Green Party, which has had its first reading in Parliament this week. Chloe Swarbrick's alcohol harm reduction bill looks to ban alcohol-related companies from sponsoring sports and to allow local councils to control alcohol sales, trading hours and location. Do you believe that this will effectively reduce harm in the community?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think, so Chloe's bill focuses on two of three so-called Best Buy policies from the World Health Organization. And they're called Best Buy policies because they're known to be the most effective but also the most cost-effective ways for reducing alcohol harm. And Chloe's bill looks to restrict availability of alcohol in our community and advertising. And that's known to be effective. So the first part of her bill around alcohol in our neighbourhoods looks to empower local councils and communities to have more of a say of the provision of alcohol. So it does that by removing the unique appeals process that we've currently see has basically just been used by the alcohol industry, and they pour, you know, massive resource and legal resource to taking local councils to court to basically stall the wishes of the community. So it just really puts the power back in the hands of councils to uphold the wishes of what the community wants to see anyway around the provision of alcohol. So definitely a good thing. And with the second part of the bill, so that would be around, I guess, washing broadcast, you know, aka professional sports, free of alcohol advertising. Again, we know from the research that that's likely to be enormously beneficial for the community. Exposure to alcohol advertising results in younger people drinking earlier drinking initiation and drinking more frequently. It results in sports people drinking more frequently. So definitely it would look to sort of put us on a path towards, I would say, healthier environments that help us thrive and, you know, aren't saturated with alcohol.
So what is the scope of alcohol harm at the moment? How badly is this affecting our communities?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel, well, alcohol is obviously, it's New Zealand's favourite drug, and it's really normalised in our society. I think we forget that it is a drug, and, you know, that it's a teratogen, so it affects the normal development of a fetus. And I think many people aren't aware that alcohol, you know, can cause cancer. One in five New Zealanders drink hazardously. And we know for, you know, New Zealanders 15 to 49, so, you know, arguably our most sort of productive years, alcohol is the leading risk factor for death and for disability. So it's far ahead of dietary risks, tobacco, you know, other drug use, high blood pressure. And the deaths are from self-harm, violence, that's including family violence, injuries, transport injuries, but also from addiction and the role alcohol plays in cancers and other health conditions. So I really do think, you know, with healthier environments that sort of support just less alcohol consumption, you know, we can see improved mental well-being. You know, we'll have fewer suicides, less family harm, you know, we'd have safer roads, less cancer, yeah, boost productivity and employment. So definitely alcohol harm is a problem in our community, but everything we care about can improve with less consumption.
What does your organisation, Alcohol Health Watch, do to reduce alcohol harm?
Sure. So we're a small team of five, and we work across all of New Zealand to basically reduce and prevent alcohol-related harm. So we're about raising awareness, building knowledge and skills, including, you know, finding out new knowledge, you know, identifying where the gaps are and what we know about alcohol harm in New Zealand. We're about fostering connections, building networks and relationships within the sector, and essentially promoting health policy and best practice.
Your organisation, along with Hapai Te Hauora, created a petition that gathered more than 8,000 signatures. How do you feel about that as a great public response?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. To be honest, we have been in awe of the response. It's just been phenomenal. So yeah, as you say, with the petition, in such a short time, you know, we reached over 8,000 signatures, and I think this really spoke to a thirst in the community to see change. You know, it's not often that we're seeing really evidence-based policy come to the table around alcohol harm. We had a lot of comments from the community saying, oh yeah, it's about time we had action to reduce harm, and you know, just things like, oh, isn't it this a no-brainer? So that was, it was really, really exciting and encouraging to see. But along with the petition, we also had an open letter that was signed by 116 organisations. So again, absolutely phenomenal in such a short space of time. And the organisations just were so varied and broad. So we, you know, we saw schools and school principals sign. We saw social groups like Salvation Army and Auckland City Mission sign. We had victim support, family planning, women's refuge, groups like, you know, Age Concern and Stroke Foundation, Consumer NZ, a lot of health-focused organisations as well. So like St John and Alcohol and Drug Rehab Centres, and a lot of support as well from child harm reduction groups, so Child Poverty Action Group and Plunkett. So yeah, it was a really phenomenal response, and I think it really just shows that people are ready and we want more protections.
So other than changing the laws, are there other ways to reduce alcohol harm in our community? Are there ways that people can help, and are there organisations that people can contact if they feel like they're struggling?
Yeah, absolutely. So still the three best buys, as I mentioned before, from the World Health Organization are around, you know, them restricting the advertising and marketing of alcohol, the availability of alcohol, and reducing the price of alcohol, because, of course, alcohol is very cheap. Policy measures around these are still the best and most cost-effective way to reduce harm. So I think it's always important if bills and policies come up that support these to, you know, speak up, you know, chat to your MPs about what you think and let others know. But of course, we also have a part to play in shaping the environments, you know, that we live, work and play. And so, you know, for example, never pressure your mates to drink, like support their choice if they're wanting to drink less or wanting to, you know, not drink at all, particularly coming up to Christmas. I think that can be hard for many people. But, of course, as well, if people are struggling, it's important to know sort of what help is available. Now, obviously, Alcohol Health Watch, we don't specialise in this, but I think Alcohol and Drug Helpline is a great point of reference. If one has a good relationship with your GP, they're always great to talk to. But there's a range of other services around the country that do counselling or peer support, such as Community Alcohol and Drug Services or CADS, Odyssey, Salvation Army, and there's a range of also culturally appropriate services such as Te Ati Marono and Tupu. Of course, many of these services also do dedicated stuff for young people too.
That was Sarah Snide from the Alcohol Health Watch speaking with me around the proposed Alcohol Harm Reduction Bill.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.